see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, it's like worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even work some black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a need, bro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero, bro. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth for no welfare.
Okay, I know that is right. Rest in peace to the greatest of all time, Tupac Shakur. Literally my favorite rapper of all time. Of all time, not like most recently and stuff, but he was just one of the greatest to ever speak some real shit. And all these years later, 25 years later, and it's still going on in the world and still relatable. So that's today's energy. What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to Javon Joseph, The Truth Behind It All, where we talk about any and everything. Nothing is off limits. Today is Monday, September the 27th, 2021. It's a big day for me. I got some stuff going on with my family law shit and all of that crap today. Literally for the next month, you guys, I have like 6 different court dates in 1 month based on this stuff going on. So it is stressful, but like I mentioned last week, I have retained an attorney, so I'm not really too stressed about it because everything's kind of being handled, you know, on the front hand by them. And then not only that, but today's Monday. It's the week that I leave for Europe, you guys. I am so excited. I leave to New York on Friday, and I'm in New York for the weekend, and then I head to Paris on Sunday. And I am so excited. So hopefully this week can fly by and, you know, it'll be a quick week. I got lots of things to do. So let's get into it. This week's episode is going to be being black in America and police brutality. It's very relatable to a lot of my friends, my family members, my social media fans and so forth. And we're going to bring on a guest by the name of Phil, who's actually experienced hands-on some police brutality, unfortunately. He's going to come on and tell his story and give his insight on what he's experienced and, you know, some of the stuff that he's had to overcome and his traumatization, if any, and so forth. So I'm excited to have him on the show today. He'll come on in a little bit. I'll first just give in my experience when it comes to being black in America. It's a very fucking tough thing. I've been to a lot of other countries and you don't quite get the same. It's not as uncomfortable feeling as it might be in America. I'll go to other places, other parts of the world, such as maybe Tokyo or something, and I don't feel discriminated against. I don't feel like my tattoos are, you know, giving me away or something. Because a lot of people, a lot of people in America, they're very judgmental. That's the word I'm looking for. Very judgmental. When I was in Europe a few years ago when I was in London, one thing that I noticed is no one is worried about what the other person is doing. Like if you see somebody, you know, smoking a cigarette on the street corner or something, nobody's going to look at them crazy like, oh, he's smoking a cigarette. But in America, if you smoke a cigarette on the corner, depending on where you are and stuff, someone's gonna, a white bitch might walk by, plug her nose, and like do the most to make you feel like what you're doing is bad kind of thing. So, and I don't want to label that as a race type of thing or something, but it falls into the Karen category. Like, bitch, mind your business, you know? You mind your business, I mind my business. We can go about our businesses, you know? Being black in America is no joke. There's been times when I've been, unfortunately, in a jail cell and I've witnessed the police brutality against, you know, another black person. Or there's been times where I've been on the road with my friends and we've legit, like, have been pulled over, guns drawn at us, you guys. I'm talking like I'm pulling into an apartment complex. All of a sudden I hear whoop whoop. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I like look out and I have a gun drawn at the car. And I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? You know, because I know me, and I don't have anything ever on me ever, because I just, that's not who I am. It's not, I don't need to keep a strap to protect myself. I don't need to keep a thing in my pocket to protect myself. Although I'm not against those types of things, like I support those. It's just, for me, that's not something that I needed to do. But I've been pulled over and literally, like in the movies, you guys, pulled over, thrown on the wall, patted down, the whole shebang, for no reason type thing. Just like, oh, your tail light's out, or your license plate light isn't showing, or you have a fucking air set in the fucking windshield wiper. Like, literally, they'll come up with any fucking reason to pull you over. And I've witnessed it so many times, and more so, you know, as I've gotten older, I haven't really been pulled over as much, or I haven't actually, God forbid, been pulled over in quite a long time, a few years. But when I was younger, I was always getting pulled over, and they would just come up with the stupid excuses like, you didn't make a full stop, you have an air freshener where it shouldn't be, like random shit. So, but it was really profile discrimination, because after, you know, they would talk to me, they would ask, oh, are you in a gang? And, you know, are you on probation or parole? And it's like, are you guys serious right now? Like, if you know me, you know I'm not on none of that shit. Like, this is so funny to me. There's been times, you guys, me and my homegirl Lisa, we were fucking in New Orleans, having a grand old time, walking the streets, right? Like, legit having a good time. These two undercover people walked up to me. Two undercover people walked up to me talking about, we need to search, and they showed me their badge, talking about, we need to search your bag, we believe there's a gun in there. I looked at my friend Lisa and started laughing. I was like, these motherfuckers think I got a gun? Like, what? And that was just funny to me, because for one, if you know me, you know I'm not keeping a gun like that. But for two, for somebody to really think, well, for these, you know, police officers. So basically they came and they searched my bag, and then they were like, oh, okay, you're good to go. I was like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm good to go. I ain't got nothing to have. Oh, man, it was just a funny time. And maybe, again, this is because my tattoos, because I'm not the blackest person. I'm a light-skinned motherfucker. So, like, I think it might be the tattoos, but I'm black. When you look at my ID, it don't say mixed. It don't say half white, half black. That shit say black. Okay, so they don't give a fuck. The government don't give a fuck if I'm the whitest of the whites or the blackest of the blacks. If my ID says I'm black, my nigga, I'm labeled as black. I've been, when I went to Puerto Rico, got off the plane, ready to go, hopped out through the COVID shit, hopped out through Border Patrol, whoever I needed to pass. And right as I'm about to enter these doors, another two undercover people walk up to me. Excuse me, sir. It looks like you have some stuff in your bag. Do you mind if we check? So then they pulled me to the side. They were like, everything you packed here is all yours. Nobody packed anything for you, right? Everything here, you have no illegal narcotics, no nothing prescribed anything. Whoop-de-woo. I said, no, my nigga, I'm here on vacation. Like, I'm here to have a good time. Like, y'all niggas really think I'm over here pushing weight? Like, what? It was crazy to me. So they searched my shit and they let me go, obviously, because I had nothing. Like, only time I'm ever traveling, bringing something, I bring marijuana with me. That's the only time I got something. And then, even then, I've been in LA and I've been at the airport and I've been stopped for having my marijuana. I had my cannabis card, so they didn't give a damn. The police came, they saw how much I had. They were like, oh, that's it. It was like half an ounce in some edibles. They were like, oh, that's it. He let me go. But it comes down to me being profiled. Oh, that's what it is. Racially profiled. That's the word I've been wanting to use. It comes down to me being racially profiled. And I believe that I have been racially profiled and I continue to be racially profiled. And being racially profiled is, it does something to your mental. Like, I do feel uncomfortable if a police gets behind my car. I do feel uncomfortable if, you know, if I have police contact or if I am speeding and then this other car tries to speed up, especially living out here in Arizona, motherfuckers don't give a fuck and everybody's got a gun and you just don't be knowing out here. So it's just me, you guys, the light skin of them all. I get racially profiled and discriminated against for being black in America. And, you know, I could be outside smoking a blunt by myself, not paying the world no mind. And then this Karen-ass bitch is going to come over here talking about, you know, you shouldn't smoke marijuana. It's not good for the health. Or she'll call the cops and be like, this man's smoking marijuana. Bitch, mind your business. Like, that's the thing. People in America, they want to judge so quickly. You guys are so quick. And I'm an American, so I can't say you guys. But we're so quick to judge others and not allow others to live their truth and live their free selves. And that's what our problem is. Because you go to other parts of the world, you don't have those issues. I'm sure there's bullies and, you know, you have issues. But from personal experience, besides Puerto Rico, have not been in another, and that's still American territory, have not been in another country and felt racially profiled against or racially discriminated against. And bitch, I've been to France, I've been to Costa Rica, Tokyo, London, bitch, Turks and Caicos, a lot of places, and I have not been racially, you know. But what makes a black person in America feel uncomfortable? Probably just, for one, being black, but for two, just not knowing. That's it's the uncertainty for me, because you just never know the type of government official you're going to come in contact with, or even individual you're going to come in contact with, and based on your skin tone, they might be already feeling some type of way, and that can be a little intimidating or make you want to retract or not want to speak up or speak your truth. Or, you know, I know, for instance, being black in America, it's a lot of black people that might be struggling with self-identity or something, they don't want to come out to the world or to their family because their mom were raised. I know this isn't like brutality, but it's kind of like a mental brutality. It's still being black in America. But their parents raised them like, nah, baby, you can't be gay. Like, God don't do that. You got to go to church, whoop-de-whoop. And that's another form of discrimination against black people in America, because I feel like black people can't be themselves. If a gay black man wants to be a gay black man, I feel like he has to. It's a lot more difficult than if the white man wants to be gay. Let's just say that. It's frowned upon in the families, in the friend groups, and it shouldn't have to be like that. All my friends in real life are straight. Like, I don't really have gay friends where I'm picking up the phone like, hey, bitch, what's going on? Like, only time I talk to gay friends is when I'm going to an event or to the club. Let's be real. Or if I'm making money on social media. But if I'm talking to somebody in my real life, they're most likely straight, because that's who I choose to socialize with on my day to day. It's just what I've always been around. It's, yes, I'm gay and I potentially live a gay lifestyle, but I am also heterosexual, I feel, when it comes to my lifestyle in my real life. So I see the struggles of being a black man on the DL who wants to come out and wants to live freely and who looks up to me like, wow, you're inspiring. How do you do that type thing? And it's just like, it sucks that these black men are deprived of being themselves in America. So for police brutality, back to that, one question or one thing that I want to say is it's very important to educate our youth, especially here in America, when it comes to police brutality and racism. Let's not shield our kids away from reality. Let's try to be as open and honest with them at an age-appropriate level that we can, obviously. But we have to educate our youth and let them know the world that we're living in, because if they're not educated, they could be wrong place, wrong time. And wrong place, wrong time could lead to, you know, wrong thing, wrong whatever. So for me and my personal experience, I definitely have attempted to educate and open the eyes of my daughter to see the world and from, you know, from a different view. And I've attempted to Let her know about police brutality and the things that really are going on in the world. Because she would come home sometimes and I'd be crying, looking at my phone, like watching the news or something, like, wow, this is really happening. Our people are really dying. And she was like kind of confused, you know, probably like 7 or 8 years old. Like, what do you mean people are dying? And I kind of had to lay it on her, like, baby girl, like, in the world that we live in here in America, unfortunately, because we're black, you know, we're looked down upon. People are afraid of us. People say mean things about us. People lie on us. And really was trying to educate her and let her know that we do not have a fair, equal opportunity as other people in our country might have. And at that time, when she was younger, you know, I was doing it at an age-appropriate level. However, her mom, like, tried to shut it down and was like, you shouldn't be telling Zayana these things. She's going to think all police are bad. You're going to traumatize her, blah, zay, blah. I'm like, girl, like, let me be a parent and let me instill my values and what I want to teach my daughter into her without you trying to revocate what I'm saying or something. Like, reason I'm saying this is it's very important for both parents, even if you're co-parenting or separated or something, to be on the same page. If you're black and you have to educate your child on such a sensitive matter, because for me, I feel it's very, very important for my daughter to be made aware of what's going on in the world. And, you know, she's a black girl, so, and she's 11 now, so, you know, being pulled, she's tall. So you just never know if daddy were to get pulled over and she were in the passenger side, I would need her to be calm, but also be prepared for what possibly could happen. And I just, you know, her mom is darker than me. And you would think I would expect her mother to want to educate her, you know, on that type of stuff as well. But her mom's not in tune with her black side at all. And I think that's the issue when it comes to that is me. You can take the ghetto me out the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of me, okay? Like, I'm a nigga, and I have nigga tendencies, and I have nigga traits and nigga characteristics, okay? And of course I have my bougie side and my white side and, you know, my white tendencies as well. But when it comes to my daughter, like, I really am trying to educate and inspire her to have a bigger, an open mind to wanting to see the world for what it really is. And mom tries to shield that. So what I'm saying is if you guys are co-parenting, you guys really got to try to come to a common agreement and common ground when it comes to how you're going to educate your child and what things are going to be said and what things aren't going to be said. Because you can't flat out tell, you know, a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old, oh, police are killing black people. Like, you have to really go into detail and maybe word it in a different way for someone their age to understand. So yeah, being black in America is difficult, and I don't even think I'm touching on half of the difficulties that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Like, on a daily basis, us as black folks, we have to wake up and we have to look over our shoulders and we have to be cautious of the things that we say and cautious of the things that we do. And it's a suppression type of thing. This is just from my experience. You know, I'm going to bring Phil on and he's going to talk about his experience, and I'll actually go ahead and bring him on. I'll touch base with him now and see if he's available. But, you know, based on the last 15 minutes, everything that I discussed, the times where I've been in jail and I've seen the lack of sympathy for black men when they have, you know, an injury or they're feeling hungry or something, or the times that I've been pulled over and I've been slammed against the fucking wall for no reason, literally, like, they didn't even tell me why they're pulling me over, guns drawn at me type shit, like, it's been rough. It's been hard, but I'm still here. I'm still standing and I'm still black, motherfucker. Let's hear what Phil has gone through. Phil, I actually met this gentleman. We were at WWE SummerSlam and he was out doing his thing. I was out doing my thing and we just connected and I was able to become social media friends with this guy. And then on his social media platform, it talks about police brutality. And he's come on to previous podcasts discussing his issues against police brutality or experiences as well. So I thought it would be a good look to have him on the show and have him speak to us directly and give it to us, you know, straight from his mouth and let us know his experience and try to educate you guys. And let's just see what he has to say. I'm very excited to have him on the show today. What up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, bro. I'd like to welcome you to Javon Joseph, the Truth Behind It All podcast. How are you today?
Appreciate you for having me. I'm all good. All good.
Ready yes, to sir. Go. You ready?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I was, I want to say thank you for, you know, coming onto the show. I was, you know, letting the folks know a little bit about your background, but not too much, just, you know, where I met you and, what we're going to talk about today. But if you want to give them a brief description on who Phil is, feel free.
Well, I believe we met in, like, you know, Vegas at the SummerSlam thing.
Correct.
You know, I was just, you know, traveling. That's what I kind of, I won't say that's what I do nowadays, but I like to travel. Right now I'm bartending. I have a 3-year-old daughter. That should have been the first thing I said, but that's like the main thing in my life now, raising my daughter. You know, kind of just, navigating life, I guess. I'm 27, so, you know, not too old, not too young, I guess, kind of in that spot where I'm about to turn 30. So, you know, that's kind of like the bar for a certain life point. So just figure things out, I guess, and then, you know, one day at a time.
I know that's right. Definitely one day at a time, bro. Yeah. Okay, well, do you want to give them your Instagram, your @? They could follow you?
Yeah, I was going to get at the end. But yeah, my Instagram, I should just change it. It's P-H-O-L-L-O and then 2 underscores.
Perfect. I'll go ahead and I'll have that also, you know, in the description for the episode as well, Phil. But everybody knows that today is topic discussion is going to be police brutality. I have already given my experience and my... instances where I've come in contact and experienced police brutality and, you know, getting thrown out of the car and up against the wall for no reason, just being pulled over, gun drawn for no reason. So if you want to, you know, detail and go touch on, you know, as much as you can right now, bro, I think they'd love to hear. And I'm very interested to know what you've gone through.
Yeah, sure. So this was, I'll try not to go too long because it can get kind of long. But
take your time as much as you need. I promise you're good.
Okay. This was back in April 2014, April 22nd. So I was delivering pizza at the time. So pizza delivery driver, this was around 10:45. That day was kind of normal. Like I was taking a class at the time at Delaware State. And I was working 2 jobs at the time.
So you're like 20 years old at the time.
Yeah, 20. Exactly.
Okay.
So I was, I went to my first job, 5 to 12 in the morning, the afternoon. I would go to my class, it was a public speaking class, do that. And then I would go to the last job, which is the pizza job, from like 4 to 11 or something like that. So this was like around 10:45. It was like the last delivery of the day. And usually we don't get too many deliveries in the last 3 minutes, but we got one that night. And the funny thing was, it wasn't even my turn to go because he would alternate between the drivers, you know, who would go.
Mm.
So the other guy, you know, he was like, you can have it if you want, whatever. So I went and took it. So this was, this happened in Philadelphia, by the way. So I lived in Upper Darby, which is kind of outside of Philadelphia, but it's like right there, like a walk's edge from Philadelphia. So
I've been to Philly twice and it's, okay, I get it.
Yeah. So, this delivery was inside of Philadelphia, like kind of like in the not so great part. For those who know, this was like near Kensington. If you're from Philly, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, but it was like not too far from there. But I delivered the burger to the lady, And so I park normally, walk on the porch, deliver the burger. And then as I'm walking off this porch, you know, I see a car at the top of the block. And they're, like, kind of doing, like, you know, like, donuts, like Fast and Furious. Like, I can see the smoke going up and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm just going around. And it's, like, literally what I'm describing to you is what I saw. So I'm just looking like, okay, no idea what's going on. But I'm just like, let me get the hell out of here.
Right.
Not really thinking this is going to happen, but I'm just like, you know. I'm crossing the street to get in the car, and then the car that was just doing donuts, you know, they're still. So now I'm kind of like, you know, kind of alert, but I'm like, you know, whatever. So I get in the car, and then when I get in the car to, you know, basically start and drive away, you know how when you start the car, the lights turn on, right? And this is nighttime, but it's kind of pitch black, so car turns on, the light comes on, and then I kind of make out one person coming to my right. Because I'm parked on the right side of the street, so the sidewalk is to my right. So I see one shadow, like a figure, walking in the sidewalk to my right. And then they shine the flashlight in my face. And so I kind of block it with my right hand.
So you knew it was a cop?
I didn't know. Because like I couldn't make out, you know. Like, they were just dark, and they didn't say anything. And it was a dark, silent night, so it wasn't like, you know, I couldn't hear anything. Like, it was loud. But they didn't say anything. So I don't know what's going on. I just see two people coming at me. So one shines a flashlight in the car. I block it, and then to my left, I see another person coming in the street. And then I can see him pulling out a gun. Right? I can see the gun. Oh, I can make it out in the dark. So when I see that, I kind of go into, like, you know, defense mode or whatever. And I try to, you know, get out of there as soon as possible before I get shot. Because I'm thinking I'm about to get robbed for, like, you know, whatever I got, like $200 in my pocket, whatever. Because, you know, people get shot for less.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not, you know, thinking too hard. I'm just like, you know, like, literally, let me get out of here. So I put the car in reverse, like, real fast. And didn't hit the car in front or behind me because it was just, like, kind of like an auto thing. I was just doing. Put the car in reverse, back up a little bit, and then put it in drive to, you know, get out. So as soon as I go forward to get out the spot, that's when I start seeing like the gun flash go off, right? And on both sides, mostly on my right. So I kind of just duck so I don't, you know, get hit in the head. And then I feel one bullet pierce my thigh. And then I kind of like, you know, wince. And then I get knocked out or passed. To me, I just passed out. Like, you know, I felt the bullet pass through and it was just lights out. And then what woke me up was, you know, me crashing into a fence, like, right down the street. And the glass was breaking around all in the car. And so I'm, you know, I'm waking up, and I can't really see anything. Like, I can just, like, taste blood. And, you know, I don't feel any pain. It's just like, well, maybe I did. I don't remember if I did, but I don't remember feeling any pain at the time. And I'm kind of in shock still. So glass is breaking. You know, car's kind of coming to a stop after crashing a little bit. And so I don't know how long later, but my car door is opened, and then they're announcing themselves. They're like, police, police. And, you know, me thinking, you know, police just got here or whatever. Like, hey, I just got shot. And I just kept saying that. Like, hey, I just got shot. Because I'm in shock or whatever, right? So they like, I was like, hey, I just got shot. And I said it like probably five times. And then the cop that pulls me out of the seat, he's like, no shit, Sherlock. And then he puts me on the ground, face down, while I'm bleeding, and then, like, he, you know, kind of just, like, handcuffed me from the back. And then he put me on the floor of his car and took me to the hospital, him and his partner.
Was this your first time ever having police, like, contact?
No, but it was the first time where it, like, was violent in any way, because whenever I did, it was, probably got pulled over once. And then there was another time, this is a crazy story actually, but it was one time where I was, long story short, trying to find a tax place to do my taxes. And I kind of sideswiped a cop car that was pulling somebody over. But even that was like kind of, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was, you know. Yeah. I mean, that it was kind of a crazy story the way that happened, but, you know,
right.
The guy realized, because I said it was ice. But, you know, and it was another time. Like, basically, every time I had it was, like, respectful because I didn't have any reason to fight the cops or anything like that. Me and my mom, like, she never gave me a police talk, per se. But I didn't really ever need one because I wasn't really in the streets like that. So I was, whenever I had interactions, you know. But that night, I didn't know I was dealing with police because, you know, it's first of all, it was dark. They didn't announce themselves or anything. And they were, they had plain clothes on. So they were, ironically.
Oh, they were in civilian clothes.
Yeah, yeah, they were plain clothes officers. And so they were in an unmarked car. So it wasn't like I saw a cop car and couldn't guess that they were out there. Like I saw a badge or something like that. Because if I had, you know, I'd have been like, you know, I wasn't on anything, didn't, you know, have anything in my system at the time or whatever. So, you know, so they're the ones that headshot me, and then they took me to the hospital. And when I woke up in the ICU.
So they didn't give an explanation?
They did. That's what I was about to tell you. Well, they gave the explanation to my mom because she, you know, drove from New Jersey down to Philly when she was told about the accident, and that's a whole story in itself. But when she got there, you know, the police chief was there, and he said that, you know, they were looking for a guy. They were responding to shots in the area, and so my mom was told that, like, the description of the guy was, like, he was 6'5". He was 6'5", and had a hoodie on, and, you know, obviously it was African-American, and, you know, if anybody knows me, and you met me.
You ain't no 6'5", right. 6'5",
but they saw, I did have a hoodie on. I had like a button down the whole day, because I went to school that day. But I had a hoodie on over it, because it was like 10.5. You know, Philly isn't no warm weather place like that. And so I had a hoodie on, but, you know, they kind of just like saw me and, you know, approached me the way they did.
Mm.
And I remember when I was in the, when I woke up, my mom's telling me all this, and I'm learning that it's cops and all that. Just like learning, you know, what the heck. Well, I remember Googling my own name just to see, because my friends had told me that they saw me in the news on TV, saw my picture on TV and stuff. So I Googled my name, and then I saw that they were saying to the media or whatever that they did, you know, announce themselves, that they, you know, tried to stop me, just lies. And I'm just like, you know, like I remember, you know, yeah, I got shot, but like I remember basically what happened.
So they reality was you got shot by the police for a false identification that they were trying to get you, and then they were in the wrong for obviously shooting an innocent person, and then they went on to the public media and tried to again give a false narrative. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a small part of it.
I know about the Philly DA and stuff. So back then, it's always, yeah, it's really bad. So
there were also some witnesses that said they like kind of not saw the whole thing, but like heard it, and they were right there. And they tried to give their story to the police after backup got there, and they were like shooed away. And it wasn't until after, you know, the police backup got there that the guys that shot me, that they had their badges on when they got back. So they didn't have their badges on at first.
Mm.
They had them on later on. So, and then also, I forgot to say, so, like, when I you know, was shot through the leg, what knocked me out was the, you know, bullet to my face. So I actually got hit, you know, right next to my left eye, and it kind of entered my face, bounced around, and then, like, kind of lodged itself in my right jaw.
Oh, damn.
My right eye kind of collapsed a little bit. So that's what knocked me out and why I couldn't see when I woke up, because I was just, like, blood everywhere and shit like that. So, and I didn't even know that I got hit.
But now you're good. Like, what was
I'm good now. I was like 7 years ago.
And were there any precautions? Like, any, do you have permanent damage or anything?
Yeah. Like, my right, well, I just recently, like a year ago, found out glaucoma in the right eye. It was discovered early. Because I was just going just for checkups and stuff. So
yeah.
I'm taking my eye drops for it, so that's, like, you know, being maintained.
So were you able to maybe sue the city, or was that out?
No, yeah, I sued, like, my mom actually did it, because I was just, like, out of it for a day.
Oh, like, good. So good.
She definitely did all that.
So ultimately, they were found responsible.
Yeah, because you said they were wrong for shooting this in person, but also, besides approaching me without any warning or whatever.
Or badge.
Yeah, no badge. They also, you're not supposed to shoot at a moving car. That's like kind of the protocol of the part of the
police. Oh, training. Is that their protocol out there?
Yeah, so that's something that they broke. So they were wrong. Like, so, and then I had no, you know.
Did the officer ever get fired, or what happened with, do you know?
They were taken off. You know how it goes. Like, they were taken off.
Administrative leave or that bullshit. Yeah.
But I don't think they were put back on the street. I'm not sure. I remember the names. I'm not going to say it here, but.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't think they were.
We ain't putting y'all on blast today, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Usually, I was doing a lot of podcasts earlier last year, and I was asked about to get their names up, but I'm not. But I think they were kept on destiny, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm glad that you're alive, and I'm glad I got to meet you and have their. I'm curious to know. I know you mentioned your mom didn't educate you. Are you going to educate your daughter of policing in America and so forth?
Well, yeah, that'd be kind of crazy if I didn't, right?
Okay.
What I've been through, definitely. Like, I don't want to do it too early, but, you know, as soon as that, because my daughter's very smart, I feel like. I mean, every parent's going to say that, but.
Right.
She really is, like, no lie. So, I mean, I plan on, like, you know, I don't know how, but, like, as soon as she's showing signs of a higher awareness of certain things besides, you know, sex machine and all that.
I let my daughter, I was starting to educate her probably like around 7 or 8 is when I started to like, okay, this is, she's at that age, so it'll get there.
I was thinking 8 or 9 or something like that, so right around there.
Yeah, your baby, she's still like 3 years old. She's a young
one. Yeah, it's going to take a while before she knows what I'm talking about. So
you definitely should. Yeah, that's good though. At least you want to do that, because a lot of, you know, kids in America, they might have that education, or if they don't have that education because, you know, they just haven't got it, or they're scared of the police or whatever, it's just, it would be good for us as fathers to educate, you know, our youth, and hopefully they can continue to educate their kids and so forth.
Yeah,
because it's very important, because you know, being raised in America as a Black person, no matter light skin, dark skin, in between skin, you're still, once that ID says Black, like, that's all that matters. So it's tough for a lot of kids out here. And, you know, it's, I'm sorry that you had to experience that, especially at 20 years old. I've never been shot. I don't ever want to be shot, but I've definitely been, you know, guns drawn at me from the police, and it's very intimidating. So I can't imagine being thrown out of the car onto the ground after being shot and stuff. So kudos to you for being a strong-minded individual, bro.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Is there anything else that you might want to say or touch on while we're here?
No, just like sharing the story for, you know, like, I'm really busy nowadays, but back when I had time, like after COVID, I would share the story a lot. And I'd always say the point is just like, you know, just share the story, and like just to see, or just to clarify for some people who don't believe that it's always, people who believe that the police can't make mistakes, or that it's always someone that did something, or they must have done something that put themselves in that position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always that, you know, police make mistakes. I don't know if people will take my story as like a racism thing. There's definitely a profiling thing, but, you know, just sharing the story just for the awareness. And I kept it quiet for 6 years, and it was hard to see people.
Oh, you were quiet about it.
People. Yeah, like, I didn't really want to share too much. I was recovering and all that.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I felt bad after a while. Especially after George Floyd, that's what really kind of put me over the edge as far as wanting to just go out there and share it. So,
absolutely. Yeah. It's important. Like I said, it's very relatable, especially in our community. People just, like I said, they're suppressed or scared or whatever mental issues that, not saying issues, but mental problems or mental reasons why they might not want to voice it. Like, it's hard for a lot of people. So, it, you know, thank you so much for coming on here and wanting to actually voice this. And like you said, you've done it before, and, you know, but this is, I have a different platform, you know, maybe new people are going to hear your story, and new people are going to be like, or whatever. And maybe you will educate, you know, my platform and my followers and stuff. So I can't thank you enough, bro. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let me